pray for Brother Paul and Miss Arlene, Matthew. I think the funeral is still a few weeks away, a couple of weeks away, but let's continue to pray for their family. Good to see them back home. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Thank the Lord for His Word. Thank the Lord for His sweet presence today. This privilege that He's afforded us together to gather together again in the house of the Lord. Deuteronomy 1, if it's where you're physically able, let's stand and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, we gave you an introduction last Sunday evening, and I tried to just give you a brief overview of the truths of this precious book. Sometimes if we're not careful, we will be guilty of thinking that there's nothing in this Old Testament book for us today. But nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And this certainly is God's holy book, divine, the book of Deuteronomy, literally the words of Moses as he is preaching to a new generation. And as we begin our reading tonight, verse number 1, chapter number 1, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness and the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Izahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth and in Redi, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and in all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege once again to bow in your presence tonight. Thank you for the sweetness of the Lord in our soul. And Lord, we know that's only by the grace of God that we know you tonight. And certainly there's nothing in us. Oh God, as the book of Romans plainly teaches us, in us there dwelleth no good thing. And oh God, we thank you for your precious grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Father, for the sweet presence of God. Oh, Lord, we thank you that as Mephibosheth said, Lord, as David extended him kindness, he said, who am I that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And oh, God, we feel the exact same way, that dead dogs, Gentile dogs, you'd allow us to sit at the table of the Lord. Father, that you would allow us to sit at the king's table. Enjoy the sweet provisions. Enjoy the sweet presence of the King. Sweet fellowship and communion with the King around His table. As you did this morning. And we thank you that once again tonight, that already we've been able to sit around the table. We've enjoyed the sweet songs of Zion. We've enjoyed the sweet stirring of the Holy Ghost of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not a stranger to your grace. And that we're not a stranger to your sweet presence, and we're not a stranger, oh God, to the sweet mercies of the Lord. We give you the glory and honor. We pray, dear Father, that you'd help us tonight as we look to the Word of God. I pray that you'd open our mind, open our hearts, please. Lord, may we behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, instruct us, encourage us. Lord, strengthen, Lord, those that may be weary, those that may be weak. God, those that are burdened down. Oh, God, would you lighten their load? Oh, God, I pray that you would minister their need and heart tonight. And, oh, Lord, also deal with that sinner that's on their way to hell. Lord, convict them and woo them and draw them. Save them, oh, God, by your marvelous grace. And, oh, Lord, whatever's accomplished, you will receive the glory and all the honor. For it's in the lovely name of Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we're dealing with the book of Deuteronomy, we have entitled this series, Remind Me, Dear Lord. We've seen that this is certainly a book of remembrance, that Moses is reminding, is stating the Word of God to this new generation that is about to enter in into the Promised Land. And tonight, our text, as we've read in our hearing, is verses 1 through 8. And I want to deal tonight with this thought, the past is a promise. The past is a promise. Again, as we noted last week, the book of Deuteronomy, literally the words, as is stated in verse number 1, the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. It is as though he's gathered the congregation together, and he is preaching a farewell charge, a farewell message to this new generation. It's on the brink of entering in to the Promised Land. Amen. I would say once again, you and I as well, especially my generation, I'm sort of in that middle age part of my life, and I'm not considered a young preacher anymore, and I'm certainly not considered an old preacher to some, amen, kind of in that in-between state, amen. The older preachers look at me and they say, but boy, you still got a lot to learn. And the younger preachers look at me and they say, man, we want to be there one day where the Lord has brought you to. I'm sort of at that middle point in my ministry that the Lord has given to me. But I've seen a lot of transition, seen a lot of change, as did Moses, leading the children of God, the people of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage. And you know the account as they wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years. That generation, that old generation, has now passed off the scene, suffering the consequences of their unbelief. Are y'all with me tonight? And so here's a new generation. As we said last week, I believe that there's a gleam in their eye. Amen. There's hope in their eye, in their mind, in their heart, as they're about to enter in finally into the land that God has promised to them. As you well know, in Bible typology, Canaan's land is not so much a type of heaven, although many songs would make it out to be. And I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I don't believe that's the purest type. I think that the true type of Canaan's land is victorious Christian living. It's living according to the promise. Amen. It's living taking the giants down. It's living taking those walled cities. Amen. It's living according to the promise that God has given to us. I don't know about you, but I struggle to get to that place each and every day of my Christian journey. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. And we see Moses preaching to this new generation. Tonight, I have the privilege of looking out of the congregation, and I see as well a congregation that I believe with all of my heart is desiring to have the good things that God has for us in His Word. I'm not just talking about material blessings. I'm talking about, again, living victorious as a born-again believer. And here Moses begins to encourage this new generation. He begins to instruct them in the Word of God. In these first verses of the first chapter, he's going to remind them of the moment that the Lord has told them to leave Sinai, or as it's mentioned in the text, to leave Horeb, which is another term for Sinai, to leave Mount Sinai and go on to the land of victory. Of course, we know what happened. They did leave Mount Sinai as they dwelt there about a year's time, a little less than a year, but only to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Of course, we understand that. We know the reasons why. Because of their unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness and defeat that old generation, with the exception of Moses and Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. And of course, Moses even himself would not be able to enter into the promised land. And I can see Moses as an older man challenging that new generation that's going to enter into the promised land. He doesn't want them to repeat the same choices that their forefathers have made. Are y'all with me? He doesn't want to see them suffer the defeats that old generation suffered. He wants them to go on unto perfection. He wants them to go on to claim that land, that victory that God has promised to them. And in these first 8 verses, he's going to remind them of the past, and he's going to reassure them of the promise of God. He does so in 4 simple ways tonight, which will be our outline. First of all, I want to deal with the movements in this text. The movements in this text. Notice carefully with me your Bible in verse number 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. Notice the detail that is mentioned in these movements. Do you see the places that are listed specifically in this text? Can I tell you that is not by coincidence? Can I remind us tonight, there's not a word on the page of our Bible that's there just by coincidence, that's there for happenstance? No, there's a reason that God wants the specific places, the specific movements of the nation of Israel outlined in this text. Are you listening to me? God gives specific details as far as to the places that the nation of Israel has been and where they're at this very moment. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. Can I remind you tonight? Oh, I'm about to get blessed. Amen. Can I remind you tonight that God is fully well aware of the movements in your life and in mine? He knows exactly where every footstep is going. Amen. He knows exactly where I'm going. Amen. He knows where I've been. He knows the details of my life, just as he knew the exact details when it came to the nation of Israel, according to their places, according to the time. Notice verse number 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Do you see the specific time that God is listing here in his word? Detail information. Can I tell you, there's not a moment in your life that God is not aware, that there's not a second, amen, in your life that God is not aware of the movements in your life and in mine. Amen. What a comfort to know tonight that our God is not a million miles away, but although he is the God of the universe, and although heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, although, my friend, he is from everlasting to everlasting, he is still involved in the intricate details, the places, and the time of my life. One writer said this. He said, the inspired writer is careful to give us in the most precise manner all the bearings of the place in which the words of this book were spoken in the ears of the people. Israel had not yet crossed the Jordan. They were just beside it and over against the Red Sea, where the mighty power of God had been so graciously displayed for nearly 40 years before. The whole position is described with a minuteness which shows how thoroughly God entered into everything that concerned His people. He was interested in all of their movements and in all of their ways. He kept a faithful record of all their encampments. There was not a single circumstance connected with them, however trifling, beneath His gracious notice. He attended to everything. Are you getting this evening? He attended to everything. His eye rested continually on that assembly as a whole, on each member in particular. By day and by night, He watched them. Every stage of their journey was under His immediate and most gracious superintendence. There was nothing, however small, beneath His notice, nothing, however great, beyond His power. Yes, when it was the small movements, quote unquote, God was there. When it was in those areas that they came, that they did not know what to do, such as the waters, the bitter waters of Marah, or having no water, or having no food, or having no raiment, God was faithful to attend to each and every one of those movements. And if God, my friend, will not let a sparrow fall to the ground without His notice, how much more does He care for you and for me? The movements, He's concerned with the details. I see concerning these movements, God knew every place, and certainly He was aware of the specific time. You see, Brother Ethan said this the other day as we were fellowshipping for just a moment. He said, he was talking about God preserving His Word. And that's just a small thing with God, the same God that spake the worlds into existence. Are you listening tonight? And hear God, listen, and here's why I said that. If God cared enough to make sure that every place concerning their encampments was listed, and God put specific detail as far as the time that He spake to them at Sinai, and He spake to them in the plains of Moab, are you listening to me? How much more is God concerned with every place that your foot treads upon? And the exact time, hey, listen to me, God is not confined to time, but He knows you and I operate, amen, in the boundaries of time. And can I encourage you tonight? I don't know what this time has. Was it not the psalmist that said, our times are in His hand, or our times are before Him, amen. And He knew exactly what time that you would wake up this morning, and He knows exactly what time you'll pillow your head this evening. He knows, my friend, that the preacher forgot to start his time clock tonight. Amen. And He knows that it's 6:49 on a Sunday evening at Bethany Baptist Church. And He came to remind us in the person of the Holy Ghost tonight that He is aware of every place and every time of our life. The very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows our stature. He knows our downsettings and our uprisings. He knows our flounderings, amen. And listen, can I tell you, He knows you're faithful, amen. He knows, my friend, to the highest heights of the lowest depths. He is aware of every detail in your life and in mine. The movements concerning the details. But it's in the text, we must see it. He also is aware of the distractions in their life. Verse 2, parentheses. He says where they're at. But notice verse 2, he said there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the mount, by the way of the Mount Seir, unto Kadesh Barnea. And I would say to you again that that verse is not there by coincidence. Again, Moses is preaching to the new generation. And there's a reminder. What should have taken 11 days took 40 years. 11 days! You see the reminder of the text? And I have to look in the mirror of God's Word. And oh, how that preaches a message to me tonight. 11 days. Where are you at? 11 days. Somebody might say 11 days. We know it took 40 years. How was this? How could this be? One writer said, we need not travel far for the answer. All one has to do is look in the mirror at God's Word and see the very same thing in our lives so many times. Y'all with me tonight? As a matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews, if I could bring in a New Testament illustrative text, if I could just for a moment tell you what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter number 5, after speaking of the, beginning to speak concerning the wonderful things of the superiority of Jesus Christ in this precious, wonderful, deep book, the book of Hebrews. He said in verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. We might as well could read Deuteronomy 1:2, 11 days. Are you getting it? Here it is, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We could might as well say Deuteronomy 1:2, 11 days. And yet 40 years. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But I don't want to leave you there. I didn't come to discourage you this evening. I just think that we need to understand that God's aware of our movements, amen, in our life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He knows the details in your life, but he also knows the distractions in our lives. I didn't come to discourage you. Notice what the writer said in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And here's the message. Here's the message of Deuteronomy. Let us go on. Let us go on into perfection. Y'all seeing it? You see the movement. The past is a promise. If God was aware of every movement of that old generation of the wilderness, he certainly would be aware. As a matter of fact, he said, if you'll just trust and obey, I'll fight your battles for you. Amen. I'll send my angel before you. I'll drive out all the ites of that land. Amen. I'll let you dwell in houses that you didn't have to build. I'll let you eat of the land that you didn't have to cultivate. And how many times have you and I sat at the table, amen, of God's precious provisions? Oh, how many times have we enjoyed the sweet blessings of God? When we trust and obey, but how quickly we are distracted. You see the movements, but let me hurry along. I see, secondly, the mandates. The Bible says in verse number 3 again, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake, here it is, Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. And notice verse number five, if you will. On this side Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law, saying, verse 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Notice, if you will, the mandates. Again, God is reminding through His man Moses that He spake to that generation before, and He is restating, amen, He is stating now with full purpose to this new generation. Notice the declaration of the Word of God. The Bible said at the end of verse number 3, and I want you to see this, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, I want you to see this order, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. That's the way preaching and teaching ought to be. We take the Word of God that is given to us, amen, and we give it unto you. But unfortunately, listen, and of course we could spend some time here, but I that's not my intention. Again, Moses was faithful to deliver the Word of God, the commandment, the mandate, amen, that God had given unto him. He declared it unto them. But unfortunately, religion has a way, has a tendency of adding to and taking away. Amen. Moses did not add to, nor did he take away. All, notice your Bible, all that the Lord had given him in commandment, he gave it unto them. That is the order of the declaration of the Word of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that text that we use as we partake usually of the Lord's table. He said, I delivered unto you also that which I have received of the Lord. And may God help the preacher, may God help the teacher to do just that. That God gives us in His Word, may we faithfully declare that and that alone, amen, to the congregation. The declaration of the Word. I just want to go on record and say I'm thankful, amen, for those who faithfully teach, those who faithfully preach the Word of God, amen. I understand the words of the prophet Amos. There will come a time where there will be the famine. There will be a famine of hearing the Word of the Lord, but the mandate is still the same. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 2, amen. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine and will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And certainly we are seeing that on a continual basis in the modern church era. Oh, but God, may God help us to be faithful to declare, thus saith the Lord, nothing more, nothing less. The declaration of the Word. But not only is there the declaration of the Word, there is the explanation of the Word. I want you to notice verse 5 again. On this side Jordan, the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying. Now, that word declare in the text gives indication of declaring fully. It gives the indication of giving the intent. It reminds me of the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 when Ezra the scribe made a pulpit of wood, and the Bible said he opened the Word of God and he read from morning until midday. And the Bible said that he read the Word, he read the law of God distinctly. and He gave the meaning thereof. Amen. Can I tell you that's what needs to happen behind the sacred desk? This isn't a time, amen. This isn't a time for story time with Uncle Jeremy, amen. This isn't a time where I put on my sweater, amen, and I get me a stool and just give you a fireside chat. This is a time that we open up the Word of God and we read it distinctly, amen. I know sometimes we carry on. I try not to do that very often, but certainly the Lord knows my heart, amen, but we need to read the Word of God. I think there ought to be a premium set even on just the reading of God's Word, amen. I think that we ought to do our very best, amen, when it comes to just the reading of God's Word from this sacred desk, and then the teaching, the distinct, amen, the distinct teaching, giving out the explanation of the Word of God that's teaching, amen, and the pastor ought to be apt to teach, but it goes a step further, amen, into preaching. And what's the difference between teaching and preaching? Teaching gives the explanation, but preaching lays the charge to it, amen. It says you got to do something with it. There's application, amen. You've got to take it home, and you got to put it into your life. For years in the South, we've thought that the difference between teaching and preaching is that preaching, the voice is elevated and the hack is added. And I'm all for elevation of voice. I think you ought to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Amen. But if a preacher stands in a monotone, amen, never fluctuates, if he's putting a charge along with that teaching, it's preaching. It's exactly right. I hope we understand that tonight. The declaration of the Word, the explanation of the Word. Let me say thank God, amen, when God's touch is on it. Amen. Whether or not there is an animation of it or not, amen. Are you listening to me? When God's holy breath is on it, when God's touch is upon it, oh my soul, that's what this generation needs. That's what this new generation going into the promised land. Are you listening, young people? Amen. Amen. God, give us preachers. Hello. Amen. The declaration of the Word, the explanation of the Word, the demonstration of the Word. Look at verse 6 real quickly. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Of course, here's what he said in verse 7. Turn you. Take your journey. You see, there came a time where God's Word was given out, but there came a time where you need to move with God's Word. You need to move. You need to put it into action. Put it into your life. It's one thing. It's one thing. Listen to me, and it's important. The teaching and preaching of God's Word is important, but I must take it home and apply it every day. This certainly is one of the issues of the modern church. We pride ourselves, amen, in the teaching and the preaching, and certainly I think that outlining and the means and the substance that is available is so very accessible. It's right at our fingertips, and I think that is wonderful. I think that's great, amen. And I try to take advantage of those resources. But what good is it if I don't take it home? What good is it if I never do anything with it? There's the movements, the mandates, but let me hasten. I see the word might, M-I-G-H-T. Look at verse number 4. This is interesting to me. Bible said in verse 3, Moses began to speak. Of course, God's very specific in the timing. Notice verse 4, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwell in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei. Do you notice what the Bible says here? There is the slaying of these two kings. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan. And of course, this is outlined for us in the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. The details of the slaying of these two kings. And I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but I think it's in the text for a reason. I'll remind you that when that first crop of spies went out to spy the land, you remember the report that they brought back. The report was that there's giants in that land. The report was we're like grasshoppers in their sight. The report was we're not able. Oh, it's wonderful. It's glorious. Milk and honey. But there's giants over there. And you know what Joshua and Caleb said? Don't listen to that crowd. Our God will take care of those giants. They believed the 10 instead of the 2. God said, because of your unbelief, your carcasses are going to fall in this wilderness. Oh, but near the end of that wilderness wandering, are you listening to me? God allowed the nation of Israel to see just what Joshua and Caleb was talking about. Bible said in verse number 21 of Numbers 21, Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through the land. We will not turn in the fields or in the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along the king's highway until we pass thy borders. Be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jaaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even of the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelled in all the cities of the Amorites and Heshbon and in all the villages thereof. Would you pass on down to verse number 33? And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord, I'll say it two or three different times by the time I end of the message. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand and all his people and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and his people and all his people until there was none left alive, and they possessed his land. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter number 3 that Og, amen, the Bible talks about how big his bed was. Amen. This was a big dude. He was a giant. Amen. Are you listening to me? But God took care of Og, and God took care of Sihon. And I tell you that God was reminding that new generation that through, amen, through Moses, that God took care of those barriers. Amen. With Sihon, he wouldn't allow the people of Israel to pass through. He put up a roadblock, but God took care of that barrier. Amen. I tell you that God, through Moses, was reminding that new generation there's still yet more barriers. Amen. There'll be some walled cities at Jericho, some tremendously hard tasks in front of you. But if I took care of Sihon, amen, king of the Amorites, I am able, amen, to take care of the barriers in your life. And can I remind us in 2024? I do not yet know the barriers that lie ahead of us. I do not yet know the hindrances and those things that would try to restrain and to conflict and to confine you in your walk with God. But if God took care of Sion, He can take care of the barriers in your life. God's able to take care of the big things. He's able to take care of the giants. Certainly, the nation of Israel would face many more giants. As a matter of fact, Moses killed two kings, as far as we can see. But Joshua, I believe, if I remember right, it was some 30. Are you listening? The old generation took out two, but God was going to let this new generation take out many more. God was reminding them of His might. This new generation. Can I speak to the young adults and to the teenagers and these little ones for just a moment? Maybe these little ones are not yet full aware of what all is transpiring in our world tonight. And I'm telling you, there's still a lot of Sions. There's still a lot of Ogs. There's some giants. There's some things in front of the church today that seem so big. Are you listening? There are some things maybe that you're facing your family right now that seems as big as Og, king of Bashan. Maybe you're thinking, there's no way that God's going to take care of something that big. It's too big. There's no way to get victory. Can I tell you, if God took care of Og, He can take care of the giant in your life. Maybe there's some Sions in your life. Amen. And I tell you again to this young generation that's before me this morning, there's some barriers still. It seems, listen to me, and sometimes in ministry, sometimes again in our daily lives, we can look at the things that are conflicting us. We can look at the things that are being a barrier to us from going on. We can become dismayed. God reminded this new generation of His might. I'll finish tonight and just real briefly mention this. I think God was reminding through His man Moses, this new generation, of His mercies. He said in verse 7, "Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites and all the places nigh thereunto in the plain of the hills and the vale in the south by the seaside, and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and of the unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." God said, "I want you to remember. I told that old generation, I'm telling you with purpose. My mercy is just as great. I want you to understand all the places that I want to give you. You don't deserve it." He tells them in this book that I chose you, nation of Israel, not because you were the greatest nation. I need to finish, but that's worth shouting a little bit right there. Well, there's about two of you that agree. Y'all ready to go home, amen. That's all right. We'll get out of here in just a minute. And I tell you, God didn't work in your life because you're so great. God didn't work in my life because He saw what I had to offer Him. Matter of fact, it is quite the contrary. Oh, I am so sorry, so low down, so fit for hell. But God in His grace and mercy said, "Jeremy, this is what I want to give you." Hallelujah. Oh, do you see all that He wanted to give them? He said, "I've turned you. Look away from all that wilderness." Amen. "And look here at what I want to give you." Amen. And again, I'm not not necessarily talking about material. I'm not talking about financial. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about spiritual victory. Amen. He said, look at all these places. Look at all these places. Go to the Mount Amorites, to the place of the high, under the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, by the seaside, into the land of the Canaanites, even unto Lebanon, under the great river, the river Euphrates. God said, everywhere you can look, that's what I want to give you. Amen. Can I tell you, God still wants to give you, God still wants to give me victory tonight. By His mercy, the places. Oh, I'm excited about what God wants to do even in 2024. Some might say, preacher, I don't know. Oh, you be careful, you're looking at Zion. You're looking at Og. The places. Notice the presentation. Notice verse number 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Literally, it gives the idea of presenting, of appointing. Amen. Giving. I have set the land before you. Oh, God so wants to work in your life. God so wants to work in my life tonight. You might be here tonight, you might say, preacher, I don't see it. And I don't know where you're at tonight. Oh, but I can tell you upon the authority of this word from Genesis to Revelation, He's a God of mercy. Amen. And He set before us. He has set before us some good and wonderful things. Amen. Oh, I say hallelujah. I say bless His holy name. That each and every day in my life that I get up, He has set before me some wonderful things. I don't deserve one of them. A place is a presentation of the possession. Here's what He said. He said, go in and possess it. Take it. I'm giving it to you. Take it. Amen. Possess it. Trust and obey. Are you seeing it? Notice lastly the promise. He said, possess the land. I'm in verse 8. Which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. By the way, they didn't deserve it either. To give unto them and to their seed after them. The past is a promise. He is the I am. As a matter of fact, man, I should have never, I closed my Bible and y'all got happy there for a minute. Could I just borrow your attention for one second? Look here, verse 8. Behold, I've set the land before thee. Go in and possess the land which the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, His covenant name, His relationship name. New generation, oh, the same God, Elohim, the Creator, that revealed Himself to Abraham, or I'm sorry, to Moses, as the I am that I am, is the same God that wants to lead you in unto victory. He brought us out that He might bring us in. Oh, Lord, remind me, dear Lord. The past is a promise. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God this evening.